I want to welcome you this morning. You've been welcomed already, but I want to say welcome to you. My name is Dennis, and I'm one of the pastors here. And it's always my great pleasure to come and be with you and to be able to stand here. And I don't take it lightly that I get to come and to teach and to speak God's word to you. And it is a joy of my life, and I thank you for that opportunity. Today is, as Pastor Dustin shared, it is Palm Sunday, and many of you know that. Some of you may be unaware of that. It is the day that quite often we will celebrate the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem to prepare himself in that last week for what was to happen. And today we're not going to do that per se. We're not going to come and talk on that passage as we do quite often. We're going to finish off our sermon series in the Apostles' Creed. But to start, I would like to read to you, and I don't have this on the screen because I just thought about this later, that we should read the passage that brings us the story of the triumphal entry, the Palm Sunday passage that we're used to. But I'd like you to just hear these words and to picture, as we begin this Holy Week, what is happening as millions have come together for the Passover in Jerusalem and have set up their tents and their businesses and other things along the way. And as Jesus moves from Bethany to Jerusalem, the crowd comes out to celebrate who he is. And yet we see that his response is not one of adulation as the people cheer him on, but one of sadness as he looks forward to Jerusalem to see what is about to happen. And he knows what's about to happen in the next week, while even those who were closest to him and who had been taught and led do not completely understand it. But let's just hear these words from Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28, if you'd like to follow along. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'What are you untying it? Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road comes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Just as we read that and as we prepare our hearts for the week ahead, I want us just to be mindful of what we get to celebrate next week. That all the things we've been talking about through the Apostles' Creed were for a very certain specific reason, to give us assurance of God's work in the plan of mankind and his creation, that our sin was not to reign forever, but his grace and his compassion and his mercy were to take over for those who would accept it and bring peace into our lives. And I encourage you to come out on Good Friday as we celebrate a terrible thing, this crucifixion of an innocent man, the wonderful, priceless, perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And then as we will wait our 3 days for the coming of Easter Sunday to come in here and to celebrate that he is risen, that he is risen indeed. As we read these words, I just want us to pray that God would speak the truth of his coming, his incarnation, his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension to us in this next week. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today and we just say we are so thankful for who you are and what you have accomplished. And Father, just alone who you are is reason enough for us to celebrate. It's enough for us to glorify you and to honor you and to worship you. And yet, Lord, there's so much that comes with that. The understanding of you and your plan, the understanding of your compassion and your grace, the understanding of your mercy and your love for your creation. That, Father, as we come to this Easter season, I pray that we would not be unmindful of all that you have done for us. And the great joy and the great privilege it is to walk with you, not because of what we have done, but because of what you alone could do for us. So, Father, as we prepare to celebrate this week and to think about the crucifixion and the trials and the terrible way that you were treated, and as we prepare our hearts for Sunday to celebrate the risen Savior, Lord, allow us not to take this lightly. Allow us not to take it as something small or something trite or something we just celebrate once a year, but allow us to understand what it really means to us in our lives. Allow us to understand what it means for our everyday life. And Father, we thank you for it. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, while it is Palm Sunday, we have chosen today to close out our teaching series that we've been in called LFC. We believe LFC. And once again, we've said it every week. I just want to make sure nobody misunderstands this. We are not asking you to believe in a church, a congregation, but we're talking about the things that we as a congregation under the senior headship of Christ, what we believe and what we feel are the important parts of the theology of what we say we believe. And we've been talking through this Apostles' Creed, this, as I said last week or the 2 weeks ago, kind of an elevator pitch if you needed one for your faith. An opportunity in 45 seconds to tell somebody what you believe. And I believe there's I counted up 208 words or something in here. It's not very long, but it summarizes the greatness of our faith and the things that we say we stand on. So I'm going to ask you to do something with me. I don't know if we've done it exactly this way, but I'm going to ask that you stand. And we are going to read the Apostles' Creed together. And I hope you all can read it with us, whether you say you believe everything or not. I hope you can just pray this prayer as we read it. But if you don't feel comfortable, please feel free not to. But let's read this together. I believe in God the Father, almighty creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. We've read this a few times, we've sung it a few times, we've talked about it a lot. But I hope this has been a valuable process for you. I know Pastor Dustin said last week that for every message we give, we get to prepare five times as much material as we could ever give. And that is a blessing of being a pastor. So you can all sign up and preach through the next series. If you'd like, we'll have a sign-up sheet in the back later. No, we won't do that because I got to earn my keep here. But this has been a good one. And I've had a lot of you come up and say, you know what, this part spoke to me, and this part I wasn't sure about, and it spoke to me. Before Pastor Dustin and I started preaching through this, a lot of people were saying, you know what, I remember saying the creed as a child. We haven't said it in a long time. Many of you were raised with it. Some of you were not. And as tradition has been, Baptists have not been creedal people, and yet we come to understand that creeds are important, as it helps us to understand that there is something important that we stand on. I hope our heads and our hearts have worked together. I hope our heads can say, you know what, my heart believes is true. And I hope my heart says, you know what, my head thinks is right. And those two can work together. That there are deep theological teachings on all the pieces that we have walked through in this creed as we walk through it. And I have to say that as we walk through that, just reading it together, I just had those chills. I would say the hair stood up on my back of my neck, but it doesn't. But I had that chill because every time we read a certain word, I just remember something about that message, something about preparing that message, or something about hearing Dustin or Rudy giving that message and just saying there's so much good in this passage. And today it's going to be a very short message for the most part. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to put a bow on it, but we're not going to get rid of it forever. We're just going to say, you know what? We're going to kind of bring this to a close and hope that it has been of great value to us. Now, if you've been a part of LFC for a while, I hope you know that there are a variety of different people in this room. Some of you are guests here today with us. I know some of you are here for the first time. And I know some of you are here for the second or third time. And while we are a Baptist church, we have people from every tradition among us. And we have Catholics and we have Lutherans and we have those who have never been to church. And we have those who never want to go to church. They're still here. And we walk the road together as we try to just really provide an opportunity and an environment where we can walk together, where we can hear from each other and talk and encourage one another. And those things are hugely important to us as a community at Leduc Fellowship Church. So I come today to say we're not here to shove anything down your throat. But at the same time, we are not here in any way to have a hidden agenda. To come in here and to say that you can believe whatever you want and that's okay with us, it's not okay with us. We welcome different ways of thinking. We welcome those who walk from different traditions and who have different thoughts. But at the end of the day, our goal as leadership in this church is that you would believe these things. That you would stand in a full knowledge of the truth of these things. So I hate hidden agendas. If you know me, you know I hate a hidden agenda. And if I bring you in on something and there's something we got to talk about, I'll just say right off the bat, this is what I want to talk about. These are the 3 points I want to make sure we cover, and let's not hide it. Because I don't like to trick people. Same time, you're welcome to think how you want to think. You're welcome to choose what you choose. But I want it to be clear. It would be my heart's desire as a pastor and as a leader that you would know the truth of these pieces of this statement. That's why I come today and I say, you know what, this is going to be a short one, because I have one word to preach on today. Amen. And if you all say amen in unison, I'll just quit and we'll go eat ham. Okay? Amen. No, you didn't say in unison. Not everybody said it. Just because Lisa said it loud doesn't mean everybody said it. It wasn't. I don't know. Somebody said it loud over here. We come to say our amen on this. And many of you know that word. It's funny because at the end I got stumbled up because I said amen and some of you said amen. I'm not sure what the right way of saying it is. It depends on where you grew up and which faith you came from and which part of the country or which country you came from has a lot to do with it. Amen or amen, it doesn't matter to me. As long as we can say it with a belief that what it means is that we believe in these things. Amen in its simplest form means I believe it to be true. Let it be. There's lots of different ways people will say it, but let's just take it as, I believe that this is true. It's the idea that something or someone is faithful, reliable, and believable. And we come today to say our collective amen and then to celebrate life together as through community as we come and have a potluck together. And I hope you all stay because even we have plenty of side dishes. I saw them coming in. But even if we don't, we have enough for every man, woman, and child to eat their weight in ham here today. Okay? So if nothing else, you're going to get a big old slab of ham before you take off. And even if you don't stay for the potluck, we're going to slap some ham in your hand on the way out. And you can eat it in your car. Because we got to get rid of it. Okay? It's been paid for. It's been bought. But we're going to celebrate life together. But we're going to come and we're just going to simply give our amen to the fact of what we've read. And I'm not going to re-preach the whole doctrine of the Apostles' Creed, but I want us to just understand three things very simply, and I'm not even going to preach on these. I'm just going to tell you what they are. One is that nothing is too hard for God. The Creed teaches us that nothing is too hard for God. And I hope as you read this, you understand that. I believe in God the Father Almighty, all-powerful, omnipotent, able to do whatever he needs to do and what he chooses to do. Not what we choose for him to do, but able to do what he needs to do. Creator of heaven and earth. Now, we can differ in lots of things. We can differ in how that happened. We can differ even in, some will not believe this, but we can actually differ in how long that took. But some of you think it's this way, and some of you think it's this way, but all I can say is I know that God is powerful enough. They created everything from nothing, that he himself was not created. So nothing is too hard for God. The idea that God came and allowed himself to be born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, that he might be that perfect man, God, that we needed to be our perfect sacrifice, that he was able to die and conquer death, even though we can't come back to life, he can choose to come back to life and bring hope to that situation that we're in. He can rise on the third day and defeat our sin and our death on our behalf. He is powerful enough to judge us, to sit and to say, you know what, that there is going to be a judgment for those who have chosen not to follow him. And some of us don't like the fact, some do not like the fact that it's not nice. But it's his right. It's his right and his power to rise as Christ to the right hand of the Father and to defend us as his followers there. He's powerful enough to send his Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. So nothing is too hard for God. The second piece is that all of our sins are forgiven, freely, fully, and forever forgiven. That was the one that I preached that I think I got the most response from. Because I said, some of you in this room have a hard time being forgiven, even though God wants to forgive you. He's already done everything to forgive you. He's already forgiven you. You just need to accept it. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, you know, I just can't buy that. I struggle with that. I can't believe it. I can't believe he would actually forgive me. But it's true, freely, fully, and forever forgiven. So God can do anything. He's powerful enough to do anything. Nothing's too hard for him to do, including the forgiveness of our sins. Even though we walked away from him, even though we've spit in his face, God chooses to come through his son, Jesus Christ, to become the perfect sacrifice on our behalf. And the third part is that Christ will return and make all sad things new and better. He'll take all the broken stuff and he'll fix it. He'll make all the stuff that doesn't seem right, right. He is going to return someday, and we wait for that to happen. And there have been brilliant people throughout all the ages to say that they know exactly when it's going to happen, what day, what time, where, how. And it's not happened yet, but he is going to come back. When he returns, he will have the right and the opportunity to judge as he needs to judge. But we get caught up in that, where we don't get caught up in the fact that what he's coming to do is make everything that's broken fixed. Everything that's sad, happy, to wipe away every tear and every sickness and make everything as it was intended to be. So that is the beauty of the things that we see in the Apostles' Creed. So when we say our amen, what we're saying is, I believe it to be true. I believe it to be true. So I hope when you hear these things, when you read these things, you can believe that they are true. I have one passage of scripture for you, and it's a very short one today. We'll put this one on the screen. This is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church of Corinth. And this is a church that's struggling in its identity with Christ. And Paul's writing to them to encourage them. And he's explaining in this passage, the context of this is he's explaining why they have not come to see them yet, even though they want to. And he says, you know what? We're not saying yes or no. We're saying we want to come. We're just not sure when, because that's up to God. But he goes into this little bit here in verses 20 to 22 to tell us how much we can trust God in this. For he says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Let's read that again. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. If God has promised it, it will come true. You can bank on it. You can bet on it. You can know that it's going to happen. We don't know how or when, but it's going to happen. So when you read the Apostles' Creed and you say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of the heaven and earth, I believe it's true. Amen. He's reliable and trustworthy, and he has done it. Some of these things have been done, and we can say we believe that they were done as the Scripture tells us. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe it to be true. Because he's reliable. Born of a Virgin Mary. Amen. I believe it to be true because he's reliable. That he was crucified, died, and was buried. Sad, but true. Amen. I believe that he did die and was buried. And on the third day he rose again. Amen. I believe it to be true. He ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Amen. I believe it to be true. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. Amen. I believe it to be true. Even though I may not like it, you may not like it, we don't even understand it, but it's his right to do so. As Pastor Dustin explained to us when he preached through this part of the creed, he said, you know what? Jesus' life allowed him and gave him the right to be the one who judges us. So amen, it is true. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe God has put his Holy Spirit in us. And that second part of that passage says so. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. How do I know it's true? Because his Spirit's in me. He put his Spirit in me to testify to it. So when I hear something in the Scripture, I can say, amen, I know it to be true because God's Spirit lives in me, is attesting to it, and he's enlightening me to the Scriptures to allow me to know that it's true. So he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I know he's sitting there. He's defending me. And I know I have an advocate with the Father because he's there and he's told me he would be there. And the Spirit testifies in my heart that that is true. So amen, it is true. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the combined church of Christ around the world, that I am brother with many brothers and sisters around the world who worship God in different places and different times and even in different ways and in different styles. And there are different denominational banners, and yet if we follow the same Christ, amen, it is true that the Holy Catholic Church serves the living Christ. I believe in the communion of the saints, that we come together to have community and to walk together, to be united so we can encourage one another and serve together, and that the work of Christ will go forth. Amen. I believe it to be true. Or otherwise I wouldn't come here on Sundays to yap at you. You'd have better things to do, and I'd have better things to do. Masters is on, I'm pretty sure. I could be watching golf right now. Not sure who's ahead yet, but I'll find out when I get home. But I'm glad to be here with you. It's important that we come together. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe that no matter how bad I have been, and it's at times been bad, and I've done stupid things, that God has forgiven me forever, freely, forever forgiven me. Amen. I believe it to be true. I believe in the resurrection of the body, that not only was Jesus' body resurrected, someday my body will be resurrected. And I will stand in his presence complete the way I was meant to be. Amen. I believe it to be true. And I believe that I will have everlasting life with him. With him. People say, you know, are my dog's going to be in heaven? I don't know. I don't care about your dog. Little Bit's going to be there, though. My dog. No, that wasn't my name of my dog. My dad always kicked it and said, get you a little bit of a dog, get out of here. So we just called it Little Bit. I don't know. Are you going to know your spouse and be married in heaven? I don't know. All I know is when you're in heaven and you're worshiping the living God, it's not going to matter. I hope we know each other. I hope we can reminisce and reconnect. I hope we can continue to worship together in eternity. But I don't know. All I know is I'm going to be standing in the presence of the most powerful being of all eternity. And I get to worship him regularly. Amen. I believe it to be true. So as we read all these things, our amen should be that, you know what? It's hard to understand. It's hard to fathom. It's hard to feel at times. You can read some of these things and go, you know what? It may be true. It's just not true in my life right now at this time in this place. I don't feel the all-powerfulness of God in my life because I'm struggling. I'm hurting. My life's hurting. My family's hurting. I don't have a job. I don't have, the finances I need. My health is bad. I just don't feel it. And it's in those moments, in those true moments where we really have to trust in our amen to say, I believe it to be true, even though I can't see it, feel it, touch it, taste it right now. That's what the creeds were created for, that in our growing, in our sanctification process, in our not understanding, and in our moments of valley moments, that we would be able to call out to God and say, even though I don't feel it right now, I amen, I trust it to be true. I believe it to be true. I'm going to ask for vulnerability right now. Anybody here ever go through a valley in your life where you could at least say, you know what, God, I don't feel it right now, but I trust that you are there and will see me through this. Anybody? Hands everywhere. That is our amen. Doesn't have to do with my circumstances. It doesn't have to do with my ability. It doesn't have to do with all the things that I am trying to do or make happen. There are times when I simply can just say amen. I believe it to be true even though I don't see it right now. As we come to Easter, people always say Easter must be a hard week for pastors. Well, we're Baptists. We don't do like the Lutherans do. They do something every night of the week. And they do it for months. Pancakes, they do it all, right? How many people miss the pancakes from being Lutheran? Anybody? Come on. Marvin, gee, pancakes, come on, you miss it. I know. So we have, these different histories, but we come together and we just celebrate Christ next week like nobody's business. And yet we should do that every week. Because the amen, I believe it to be true, is true every week, not just on Easter Sunday once a year, depending on when the moon lines up with the first Sunday after the equinox. Doesn't matter. Every Sunday we should come and celebrate the resurrected Christ. We're just a little more mindful of it coming into the week that we're about to walk through. But it is our amen, I believe it to be true. So we will party a little bit here. We're going to eat some ham and some potatoes and some, anybody bring Cheetos? I like Cheetos. A bag of Cheetos would be great. I'd appreciate that. We're going to have a good time out there. And I hope you all stay and hang out with us, whether you're a regular here or whether you never come here. There's plenty of food for everybody. So we're going to celebrate today, not just food. We're going to celebrate as we eat food together. We're going to celebrate our amen. And that amen for you may be, I don't believe this stuff yet, but I'm going to think about it. Your amen may be that I have relied on this even though God has seemed silent and missing for months and years, and yet I know he's there. And everything in between. But we're going to encourage one another. We're going to just get to know each other, and I encourage you to truly just dig into finding somebody else you know, but to understand that God's yes is true and trustworthy, that anything he tells us he will do, and that his Holy Spirit has been put in us as a trust and a deposit for what is to come. You say, you know, I don't see it yet, but I know God's Spirit is living in and through me. You know that he is giving you the deposit, and everything else will come in its time. So I just want to pray for us. We're going to sing one last song, and then I'm going to come up and tell you how we're going to eat ham. Okay? Because that's what I do. I tell people how to eat and how to which order to do it in. But let's, worship team, come on up. Let me pray for us. And then we're going to give you a few instructions, and then we'll break for the potluck. Father, we come before you. And Lord, over all the things that we have talked about and taught and heard about, and all the things that we have been challenged with and struggled with over the last 12 weeks, we simply want to say amen. We believe it to be true. And Father, I know there are some in this room who can't say that right now, and I don't mean to shove it down their throat or to say that they have to say the words and not mean it. But Father, it would be my heart that they would just truly cry out to you and allow you to prove yourself to them, that you would allow yourself to show yourself to them. So Father, as we sing and as we pray in a moment and as we eat together, we just simply say we believe you to be true. And Father, we just lean into you and we press hard after you, and we hope that you will just continue to work in and through us through your work of your Holy Spirit. So Father, even now as we sing this last song, allow our hearts to be united together in worship towards you. And Father, even this song, allow it to be our amen. We believe it to be true. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen.